and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from the into the heaven, the shepherds said to the one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to CCC. This is our second series on the birth of the Savior. It's been a great week at Chengwatana Community Church. We've had many people be participating in the activities we've had this week. We began last Saturday night with Tumaki and the fundraiser for the new classrooms there, and the worship by the same group last Sunday. We also had on Sunday the election of the elders and deacons, and now we have a full complement of elders and deacons to work together with you, to serve you in the church. We had changes in the Constitution, all been approved, so we're in good shape there. On Tuesday, we had the Thai Christmas party, and we had about 85 people in this room, and many of them responded to the invitation to hear and believe in Jesus Christ. We also had the combined high school young men and young women last Wednesday, and there's a lot of good food. Norm is an excellent cook, and we had a fun time together in gift exchange. We also had a Christmas party with the families of the men's group and gift exchange, and I'm happy to say Jeremiah's children got everything that they were looking for. Yes, and then we had a couple service projects yesterday. One was to pass out food to the Pakistani families. How are we doing on time? Does that microphone still work? Why don't you and Roger and Lavanya come up and talk a little bit about that? And then we also went to a Thai area where people were in great need, and we gave them household items and some food items also. And I'm so grateful for everybody who came and volunteered. We'll have to put up a big picture slideshow sometime, let you know, see about the 30 or 40 people who were here yesterday packing bags, bringing things, and contributing. So I think it'd be good for the church to hear about this wonderful event yesterday.
Okay. Thank you, Dirk. Do you want me to talk? Okay, so I'll talk. So my wife, she has been wanting to do a lot of stuff in this community. And it started with something very, very simple that was just to give gift bags to security guards that serve us. This was a couple of Sundays ago, or a couple Saturdays ago, where we handed them a gift bag and gave them a monetary gift to say thank you for the service that you have here, and to invite them to the Christmas party that Dirk had mentioned. Actually, one of those guards that came to the party, he got saved. And Michael... And Michael Andreessen, that's a missionary here in Thailand, he said that on his card, he wrote, you know, "Who told you to come here?" And he wrote Michael, and then he scratched it out, and he wrote Jesus.
Amen.
And I thought that was just awesome. So having that spirit to want to keep going, my wife reached out. She wrote on all the different Facebook pages for the expats of Nichida, the expats of Nichida yard sale, expats, whoever you are that in this neighborhood, come and serve. And we had so many people respond to come and help us with buying gifts and fans and refrigerator, microwave, all kinds of different things, and of course food items. And we served the community just outside, giving them these gift bags. We served how many homes? 15 to 20 homes of Thais that were in a very bad state. And then we took a bunch of food items and stuff downtown and gave it to a pastor there that is working with Pakistanis. I don't know if you know, but there was a raid that happened just recently, and entire families were picked up and taken to IDC. And there's some family members that weren't there during the raid that came home to an empty house. And so there's a real struggle for these Pakistanis down in downtown, and there's the struggle is real for Pakistanis all over Bangkok. So our heart goes out to them, and so we wanted to serve them as well. And it was just a wonderful thing. Like we said, the photos we're going to have, there's if you know the stairs going down to the children's ministry, it was 100% full of people. And these are people that came just to serve. They just wanted to be the hands and feet. And that's when we see God moving in this church. And it makes us so happy to be a part of this community. So if an opportunity comes back up, we will let you guys know. And hopefully this is something that makes you want to help, whether it's coming and serving with your hands or doing whatever you can to help. We would love to have you.
Before you sit down, can you introduce your sons who came all the way from the States and your brother? So, you have to stand up, guys. Yeah. Come on, stand up.
Yeah, my sons love to be put on the spot. So these are... This is my son, Nathan. And my son, Isaiah. Both of them are from Arizona. And their short brother that's still living here, Gabe. That will someday be taller than both of them. And then my brother, Frank. So they're all here helping us serve. Okay. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Go ahead. We also have children's packets. I hope everybody likes my Christmas tie. Some people have Christmas sweaters. I have a Christmas tie. I only get to wear it once a year, and so I always make the most of it. So you usually will not see anybody standing up here on the pulpit, on the stage with a tie on, but the reason I'm doing it today is because this is my favorite tie I get to wear once a year. I also have a special guest here today, my wife, Tanom. She's raise up your hand, Tanom. Okay, yeah. She's actually the real preacher in the family. She has about one sermon a day for her husband about how he should behave, how he should act, how he should conduct his life. And so she's the real preacher. No, she's a godly woman. And yesterday she was able to read the Gospel of Luke to the Thai community and share the gospel with them, pray with several people in their own home. So thank you, Tanom, for coming. This is the first time she's ever heard me give a message. So hold on. It's not about you. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be here at Christmas time together with everybody. Last week, we talked about the natural birth of the Savior of the world. This week, this last week, Mike talked about, during the message he gave at the men's group, about the star that was over the birthplace of Jesus. And his point was that that God didn't have to make a special star. That from the foundations of the world, when God created the world, he organized the planets and the stars so that on the day of Jesus' birth, the planets and the stars would align up so that there would be a star above the birthplace of Jesus that the wise men who were astronomers, could look at and realize that a king had been born because of the presence of that star. The natural birth of Jesus is the same thing. God did not have to do something amazing, special to bring a Savior into the world. The women could bear children from the very foundations of the earth creation. The process of conception and the child growing within the woman is a very natural phenomenon. But what was amazing about it was that the conception was very, very miraculous because it was a virgin who conceived. And it was a virgin who bore a son, and his son was named Jesus. God sent an angel to Gabriel to Nazareth to a virgin, a young woman named Mary, engaged to Joseph the carpenter. Mary was told that she would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit and not her husband. It would occur before she was married. Name would be Jesus, and he would be the Son of the Most High God. Mary conceives after the visit of the angel Gabriel, and a child begins to form within her. The very natural birth of Jesus exclaims in its naturalness and its normalcy that God completely associates himself with his creation, with humankind in every way except for sin. Jesus was born of a woman just as each of us are. And in Genesis, God created both the means of conception and the means of birth. Jesus arrived into our world in every way as we do. Jesus is just like us in every way except for sin, so that we might be like him in every way in righteousness. In the incarnation, God becomes fully human, and in his birth, and indeed forever. The centerpiece of the message of last week was, a virgin conceives and bears a son, and this son is the Savior of the world. But now, it's still Christmas. It's just the evening of the first day of Christmas, the day that Jesus was born. On the first day, what were the mother and child doing? Jesus has been acting like a newborn, sleeping, crying when hungry, opening and closing his eyes as he begins life outside of his mother's womb, keeping his mother awake. Mary stares into the face of her son. She is constantly cradling the child, intently listening for any sound that may reveal something that the baby Jesus needs. Like any new mother, Mary is bonding with her child. She sleeps only when the baby sleeps. She is given food, but barely touches it. Her attention is not on herself, but on the child of the promise. For Mary, like all new mothers, this is all very new. Mary immediately experiences changes in her body with the birth and begins the process of natural healing that takes place in the woman's body after the baby is born. She is now learning to care for her son with the help of the women who are around her and helping her to learn how to do this. But the message today is this: the birth of Jesus is both a celebration and a message to share. It is both a celebration and a message to share. Let's try and capture that moment. It's first and goal on the 1 yard line. It's the walk-off home run. It's the buzzer beater in basketball. It's the penalty kick that goes in. The final rose on The Bachelor. That first comes the Annunciation. Once the goal is scored, the basket made, the runner crosses the plate, the final rose received, there is a spontaneous outpouring of joy and celebration. Text, posts are put on Facebook. Instagram videos of people cheering with absolute elation are put up. Reporters rush to report the news. Twitter blows up. Such was the joy, total joy, and jubilation of heaven at the birth of Jesus Christ. Such a good news cannot be contained. It must be sung. It must be shouted. It must be announced. It must be shared. It must be spread abroad. So who were the people who would communicate this new and great tidings of a great joy? First, the angels were God's messengers. They were the first created beings chosen to share the good news outside of the immediate family of Mary. It was the wonderful news of the birth of Christ. It was the wonderful news for the whole world. First of all, the angel, as you remember earlier in Luke, the angel Gabriel came to Elizabeth and to Zechariah and said, you're going to have a child. The amazing thing about the child is it would be John the Baptist, and it was a child that would be born when the couple were in their 60s. Conceived naturally, but in their very old age. The angel Gabriel also came to Mary and also told her that she was going to bear a child. But this would be an amazing conception because she was a virgin. It would not be by her husband, but would be by the Holy Spirit. She would conceive and bear a son, and his name would be Jesus. The shepherds, who were also the messengers, were a nomadic people. Does anybody, have you ever met a shepherd? I have. My father was one. He loved sheep. When he got married to my mother, he lived on a sheep farm. My mother was born in San Francisco, went to a sheep farm. She cried for the first month of their marriage. My father was happy. But shepherds are nomadic people, and shepherds are always ready for a little gossip and a little news. They were perfectly suited to go quickly to the site of Jesus' birth. Getting there was a good 45 to 60 minute walk from the fields outside of Bethlehem to the city, into the city, to the birthplace that the angel had spoken of. How do I know this? Because I just came back from Israel with my wife, and we saw the church, and we saw the church of the shepherds, and we saw the church of the birth, and so we know this about a 45 to 60 minute walk. Once the shepherds arrived, they had been right at home in a stable, in a place where animals lived, that the child, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord had been born. The angel's annunciation of the birth to the shepherds is rich with biblical imagery. Think with me through Matthew chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For out of Bethlehem will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel," from Micah chapter 5. In John 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In Acts 20, it tells the people who look after the church of God, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." So what was the message? We have the messengers, were the angels, and the shepherds. So what was the message? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. From the angel messenger, he proclaimed, "Do not be afraid." A great and joyful event. Good news that will cause great joy. It is for all the people. See if I can. This is the church of the shepherd in Bethlehem. It was on this spot they believed the shepherds were resting when the angel Gabriel appeared to them on that night, the first night of Jesus' birth. This is Mustafa. He was our guide when we were going through the different places in Palestine. Mustafa is a Palestinian. Mustafa is a Muslim. And yet, after spending the day with us, learning and hearing of our hope in Christ and our love of God, when we came to the Church of the Shepherds, he opened up the Bible that was on the podium and turned to Luke chapter 2 and read for us the story of the shepherds. There's something amazing about the annunciation of the birth of Jesus Christ through the mouths of shepherds. People associate with that. This is not a famous group of people. This is not kings and princes who are proclaiming. These are not the religious people of the day. These are shepherds that God chose to announce to them that Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, had been born. And so they went quickly to that place to see what the angels had told them. And this is very important. Jesus was born in David's town. Now, we think of David's town as Jerusalem. But it was David's town, the town of David, until the birth of Jesus. Luke places Bethlehem, which is about, I would say, 45-minute drive from Jerusalem, at the center of God's purposes and plans. Bethlehem was outside of the sphere of influence, of human power, of human influence, and of human religiosity. Jerusalem was the political and religious center of all of Israel and represented how God's people, and indeed humankind, including the Romans, had tried to undo, had tried to oppose all of God's purposes and plans. But Jesus was born in Bethlehem. the place of David, the town of David, where God was going to establish a new thing. In Bethlehem, David, the king of Israel, was born. In Bethlehem, David was a shepherd on the hills of the city. David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel in Bethlehem. Jesus' birth in the town of Bethlehem, in the town of David, confirmed not only that Jesus was of the same lineage as King David, but that his right to sit on David's throne as Israel's Messiah, as Israel's Savior, as indeed the Lord over all creation, was his, from Psalm chapter 2. In John 7:41, others asked of Jesus, "Is he the Messiah?" Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee in Nazareth? Does not the scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Even the people at the time did not understand the significance of the town of Bethlehem, the town of David, according to the birth of Jesus. But now the Savior, Jesus, has been born in Bethlehem. He is the Messiah, the hope of Israel. The message of the angel is that God's anointed one, the Messiah, would not be an earthly ruler, overthrowing Rome's rule. The anointed one of God, the Messiah, would deliver humankind, deliver us from the kingdom of Satan to live under the rule and the reign of God. He will indeed be Lord of all. The Jewish people at the time of Jesus' birth were waiting in hopeful expectation of the arrival of the Messiah. The Messiah would be a son of David. Correct. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Okay. The Messiah would overthrow the Roman government and bring God's rule on earth that would have no end. No. How did they miss it? How can we miss it? In every way, the birth of Jesus fulfilled every prophecy, every expectation of the coming of the Messiah, both in the Old Testament and the expectation of the Jews. The advent of the birth of Jesus was the first coming, as Mike said. The birth of Jesus was the first coming of the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. In his second coming, Jesus will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and will establish his forever kingdom without end. There was a sign. The shepherds would find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Jesus was not born in a palace. He was not born in a big mansion. Excuse me, if Jesus was born today, he would have been born in the neighborhood we went to with the Thai people, not in Nishida. This is how God planned that his Savior would come to the world. Not with great fanfare, but with great simplicity, with a humbleness according to God's purposes and plans. Not a place, a palace, but a place where animals slept. Describing the location as a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger would mean that the shepherds would not miss or mistake of whom the angel spoke. If you were going to go see a famous person born today, where would you go? You might go to Peninsula Hotel. You might go to the palace of the king of Thailand. But no, Jesus was born in a manger in the city of David in Bethlehem. So now let's get to the fun part. This is the celebration. I think heaven is a noisy place, a joyful place, a place where the manifestation of the plans and purposes of God are met with a chorus of praise, both day and night. And verse 13, it says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, on whom his favor rests.'" This praise expands the words of the angel in verse 10. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, the angels look forward. The angels. Not only did the Jewish people look forward, but the angels of heaven look forward to the very birth of Jesus, of his life, his death, his burial, resurrection, and when it would take place. Hebrews chapter 1 says, in the past, God, before the birth of Jesus, spoke to his people through the prophets and in various ways through the centuries. In these last days, since the birth of Jesus, God speaks to us through his Son, through whom he made all things. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his image. The Son holds all things together by his powerful word. The praise that came forth from the multitude of the heavenly host was that God's will was being done on earth as it is in heaven. The birth of the Messiah, the Savior and the Lord, will be a cause of great joy for all the people. Indeed, all peoples. We may be fearful of the manifestation of God's will being done, but we should not be. The angel said, "Do not fear." The birth of the Messiah, the Savior, will bring peace upon those with whom his favor rests, those who have believed the Messiah, the Savior and Lord who has come. Let's try it, okay? There's a few of us here, so. Oops, maybe I have to go this way. Okay. We're going to say this together, okay? Why don't we all stand up? We're going to say it a few times to see how it feels, how it fits, okay? So we're going to start slowly, okay? But if we get a little bit louder and a little more excited about it and get a little more full of praise at the birth of the Savior, it's okay also. So let's start out. One, two, together with me. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Okay. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Too much excitement is not good at CCC. Just teasing. You know, Galatians chapter 4 brings this together for us. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." We have been talking about Christmas 2 days in a row, 2 Sundays in a row, but it's not yet Christmas. So as we come to the 24th, when Max, our brother Max, will be sharing the message on the 24th, when we come to celebrate Christmas with our family and our friends on the 25th, this Christmas, why don't we praise the Lord with faith and a glad heart? Why don't we rejoice together with your family and friends over the birth of the Savior? Be abundantly grateful that you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Reflect on the gift of life that has been given to you by faith in the Son of God. Share with others the good news that brings joy for all the people. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord who has been born. You have become man. The way has been made for our salvation, and this is good news for us and for all peoples. In this church, in this city and country, indeed in the whole world, may this message go forth with joy and celebration, and may your will continue to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.